We're in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com for a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. It is time for the wake up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929. And today's topic, kids, the Falcons pass rush. Since we talked about that during our show, you can tell us quickly in your call how you think they can fix their pass rush.
Finish.
And there's Bo's quick solution. So we'll go straight to the lines. We got Jaw in Cobb County. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
What's up, buddy?
I think we'll have a good right game this week. I don't wish injury on no one, but I know everyone knows Tampa lost one of their receivers last night, and I don't know about Mike Evans. So being that they might not have the number one and two receivers, we should be able to tee off next week. Yep. That's my take.
No, I think you got a good point, Mike. I think Jai's got a good point because I said it earlier. I think if you can, now that you know two home run threats are off the field, I'm not saying that McMillan and Palmer aren't guys that can hit home, you can hit home runs with. I'm just saying two explosive, physical home run threat receivers. Maybe come up and play a little aggressive, jam these guys at the top of the at the line of scrimmage, and maybe throw their routes off by a tick here or a tick there, and maybe it allows you the chance to get home and finish.
It'll be interesting, man. Obviously, you can't replace who will be a Hall of Famer, Mike Evans, and a perennial Pro Bowler in Chris Godwin. You can't just simply replace those guys. So I don't know if it's a simple matter of let's look at the backup wide receivers, or is it a matter of let's look at other people that will be involved. I mean, Cade Otton has come on recently. To the tune of what he had, maybe 8 catches last night. He kind of had a great night. I think you're starting to see more throws to the run backs out of the backfield. I think they'll sprinkle that in as well. And then you have to get, you know, at least a little bit of participation out of the wide receivers, although I don't know what that'll look like next week. So I'm with you, Ja, obviously talking about it. I think that the matchups definitely favor after last night. But, you know, Baker is going to move around. This is still an improved running game. I think when you look at the things that he's able to do out of the backfield, I wouldn't take that offense lightly, I guess, is kind of my takeaway from last night.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is with Baker Mayfield, the one thing I wouldn't doubt in this one is just his will. And I feel like he has this will to always win. I'm not saying this can't be a good get-right game, but I do think just having him and his mindset makes it possibly a bit more challenging.
And both of these teams probably coming off their two worst losses of the year. Right.
No, yeah, they're both coming with their worst loss of the year. I think they're also a team that's kind of, I don't want to say luck, but just kind of stumbled upon a three-headed monster in the running back backfield with Irving, White, and Sean Tucker. And then to your point, both of you made about Baker Mayfield, he's a guy that can move enough and pick up yards enough. I think he had he had a big run against us last year, and I can't remember, but I'm almost positive he did it again this year.
How many interceptions did he have in the last game, and they found a way to turn that around?
It's funny that you bring that up. His first four games, he only had 2 interceptions. His last two games, he's had 5, 3 of which against the Saints.
He got baited twice last night by Marlon Humphrey. Got baited in on guys that Marlon wasn't even covering. So he definitely was seeing a few things, and the Ravens did a good job mixing it up in front of him. But it's matchups, man. You never know what you're getting week to week. I'm sure they'll have a game plan moving forward down there.
All right, let's go back to the lines. We have Kevin, that is, the limo driver. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you? Love the show.
Hey, appreciate it.
I think I got a concept question. The previous defensive coordinator, we used to get a little bit of pressure. I think they go back and they look at some of those concepts, at least a small package of what he used to do, install those, maybe move Caden Ellis and Trey Anderson when healthy, start moving them to the outside to get pressure, and also maybe start running some stunts between Grady and the interior linemen. They got to do something different because right now they're not giving, the offenses anything different to look at. run some confusion patterns and also put those two speed rushers on the outside, besides the obvious of signing a free agent rusher. I'll hang up and listen. That's my idea.
Yeah.
Love the show.
Thanks,
appreciate
man.
Appreciate you.
I think there's some fruit to what you're talking about if you can get Troy Anderson back healthy, and that allows maybe to free up Caden Ellis too and be involved more. Here's what I say. They are running stunts up front. It's not the same stunts that Ryan Nielsen ran, but they are running stunts with Grady, Matthew Judon, and company. The other thing you got to keep in mind, and I know that people look at these guys and kind of just, it's not a big deal to some people. The two leading sack guys you had last year in Ryan Nielsen's defense aren't here. You don't have Calais Campbell and Bud Dupree. So I think it's easy to kind of look at it and say, well, we could just do some of those things. They are trying to, but right now, from what I see, it's a personnel issue. You're not able to kind of wrap the corner when you do run the stunts. The guy who was running being the looper, who is supposed to be the one that gets home, is not able to do that right now. Whether it's Matthew Judon, you had to use Damon Harris to do it a couple of times last week. Arnold Ebiketie, you don't necessarily want to do that because he's better at rushing the edge, but they are trying to do, in my opinion, more pick stunts recently.
Yeah.
I think it'll ramp up to his point as Troy Anderson becomes more healthy and you can move Caden Ellis around more.
And I think there's two points in there that they have done it more. I think Ruka Roro being active and becoming more and more of a presence in that front, because they do line changes essentially on this defense. You'll look out there and you'll have a completely different defensive line than you did the opening possession, where it's like opening possession, Tiff, it's Onyemata, you've got Grady, you've had Rook at times, and you've got Judon and maybe Ebiketie somewhere in there mixed in. Then you'll see another one where you have TQ. You'll have I have to go through some of these guys because I forget. We've got so many freaking defensive linemen. But you'll have Eddie Goldman. You'll have Zach. You'll have James Smith-Williams. And then there's times where there's Zoe. The last week it was Damon Harris. So you're doing complete line changes. But the other thing real quick is you haven't had Caden Ellis, Troy Anderson, and Nate Lamon on the field at the same – or on the, all active or healthy at the same time this year other than one game. And it just so happened to be the game that you opened the season with, and it was when they didn't even throw across the middle of the field at all for various different reasons.
Well, and here's the other thing I'll say. I think that when you look at how stunts work, the guy that's the first guy in the stunt has to be able to get penetration, right? And that's one of the things we have not been able to really do. The offensive lines that we have faced have done a good job of kind of staying on the same level, stopping the penetration. And when you can bump hips, doesn't really matter what kind of stunt they're running, right? So you have to do a better job at the first level in order for the second guy to get home on some of the stunts they're being asked to do right now.
Back to the Lions. We have Kevin, agent, or not Kevin, it's agent 78.
There it is.
That's on the line. Good morning. Nope, we got, okay, we lost him. Let's go to Chief. Good morning, Chief.
What up, Chief?
What's happening, Chief? But right, good morning, Tribal Chief.
Sir.
Miss Blackman and All-American Mike P. Johnson.
What's up, bro?
When is Texas' next home game? Because I got a couple of water boys over here. They want to know because they can go steal some water at the next Texas. I'm just...
Makes good money over there. And you got to keep them half full, too. Half full.
They can get paid. But when it comes to the Falcons and the pass rush, the only thing I can think they could really do is go get John Abraham, Patrick Kearney, maybe Tuck Smith, and let them tutor some of these guys.
Wow, you're taking it back.
Ridiculous.
I saw Abe in the press box last week. He looks like he can still go, I'll be honest with you.
I saw Chuck on the sidelines last night because he's one of the D-line coaches for the edge rushing coaches for the Ravens.
Yeah, that seems to be working.
But no, it's funny. Look, I would take that in a heartbeat back to the when the Predator was here.
Dude.
He was just so much fun to watch because I'll never forget we were at the same we were out one night and we were at the same place and we hung out with Abe for a few minutes and my buddy was like, yeah, I play flag football, but it's a physical flag football league where we have offensive linemen and blocking and stuff. And Abe goes, okay, he goes, yeah, I can get after it. I'm not afraid to hit a guy. He goes, you've never been hit by somebody like me. And he goes, well, I'm this size. And he goes, yeah, I get it. But you ain't never been hit by a guy like me. And when Abe said it, it was like...
It's terrifying.
It went from, we're all having fun. There was nothing, no issue, nothing like that. But we're all having fun. To he went in NFL player mode like, yeah, that's cool. But you don't go against guys like me. And that was that switch... And he, dude, he was so quick.
It's like a know your role and shut your mouth
physical
moment.
Yeah, I love. And by the way,
ding.
I was sitting on there. This is hilarious. Because I'd love. I've said, hey, why don't you get down in 3-point stance? Yeah. Let's go at it.
You know what's funny, man, is shout out to him because one of the things, because I spent a year or two as the swing tackle, and you're. Just because you're a swing tackle on a Sunday does not mean that you are the best backup option at either one, right? It just means that you can play both.
Yeah.
Right? It means you can do a little bit of both. So I spent a year as like the swing tackle, and obviously being that just an emergency situation, if you have to play left tackle, which is obviously usually Abe's side, Abe was always very matter of fact about the way he went about his business when I was over there. It was like hey, I'm going to basically let you know that I can win when I need to. But I'm also not going to destroy you and put you on your back. And I always loved Abe for that. Like, shout out to Abe. You know, it's like, hey, I'm just trying to get my hand placement down, Abe. You don't have to, you don't have to throw on me. And at that point in his career, he wasn't that mean of a person, man. I was like, shout out to this guy.
So you're saying he let you get your moments where you needed to develop and learn stuff, but then when it was time for him to eat, he did not hold back.
We both got our work in. Yeah, without having to destroy each other.
Sounds like a true professional.
For him to destroy me. Yeah.
Much like me.
I don't even know how to follow that up, so I'm just going to go to break. We'll be back with more Falcons on the other side of the morning shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.